Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word Demand broadcast. Once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing over the air, contact us at the email address at God's Word to Man at gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. So we thank God for another blessed day. And hey, wherever you listen to us at, this is Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. Now I'm going to patch my brother on here right now. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, dear brother, and hope you are doing better in body and spirit and moving forward and healing strength. The Lord be upon you and working in you. The Lord bless you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen, brother. Thank God for you. Thank God for the word that he is going to have you to bring today. And I thank God, brother, that he has blessed us with strength to press on. That's what we got to do in this hour.
Yes. So, Lord, we join together in faith and giving supernatural miracle strength and vitality and restoration in body and spirit and mind. For you said, ask and believe and receive. You are the strength of our lives. Now, you're the supernatural strength of our lives and our body and our faith.
Amen.
So thank you for imparting supernatural strength from your presence. Supernatural glory and supernatural touch of your finger to renew us in body, mind, and spirit. Thank you. He said, ask, and we ask, believe it, and believe that we receive. For you're the strength of our life. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we decree that it be so. Oh, Talk Rock Radio this day. And, we don't know whether the two sisters are available or not tonight. We would like for them to come in and share. And anyone else in every part of the world, every place we are, you're welcome to partake, to hear, to call in, prayer requests, or join us. And we welcome especially all the handmaidens and women's in particular, wives and husbands and ambassadors and vice presidents and mayors and governors and missionaries and intercessors and prophetess. And we invite you all. But we got to work together in the body of Christ in these last days and stand together in the gospel and on the foundation of Christ, because we have an enemy that's moving rapidly over the earth. Okay. I guess Sister Anderson and Brother Anderson and Sister Helen and Tig and Mother Tiggs or Sister Stellan or whoever, we agree for the special prayer need of our Sister Ola Don and her household family, special request, and Jared Yates. Glory to God. A healing from crown of head to the toe to the crows. Sheila, in Jesus'
Amen.
Name. Amen. All right. Well, since Sister and Brother Anderson are not available and Sister Helen Teague is not.
Well, we got one of the sisters on right now, brother. God bless you, Sister Anderson.
God bless your brothers. Thank God for you. Thank God for you and for his mighty working miracle power.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, we're in agreement. We stand in perfect agreement with that, sister. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to the Most High God. Great is our Lord and great to be praised. Now, I'm going to narrate a few things here, a first scriptural truth and principle. I'm going to narrate something I wrote down. I wrote this in the next, I wrote this down about, maybe a half hour ago. That's the way I do it. Usually, I'll get stuff and write it down maybe 10 to 15 minutes or whatever. So about a half hour, 30 ago, I wrote this down. I didn't get a chance to search out all the scriptures, but I just wrote as I was led.
Mm-hmm.
So today, I'm going to read out a few things that's important for us to know in this closing hour. The closing hour of the downfall of all nations and the coming of Christ and his kingdom being established upon the earth. And what part we play in the latter days about establishing the kingdom of Christ, bringing in the kingdom of God, and establishing Zion and making ready a people and warning the nations of the earth. Quite an assignment. So I'm going to talk about, it's more of a question and a discussion, and not so more of a, so much of an exaltation, a teaching, but more a sharing and sharing together. So I'm going to share a few things about the eternal. When I use the personal names rather than use the title, a positional, I like to use the personal names of God, like in the Old Testament, Yah, Elohim, El Shaddai. All of these names describes his nature. So in the parts of the Bible in the Old Testament, in the translation to the English, they just use the word Lord or God. But I like to personalize things. I want to get, because everything, even in this earth, has to be personalized. Your personal identity, like you, Brother Nate Hunt. And I can say,
amen.
I can call Hunt, and they say, what Hunt are you talking about? Or I can call Anderson. There's so many Andersons. Well, what particular Anderson are you talking about?
Amen.
Or I can holler out, or I can say, sister, and I'm talking to her relational name, sister. Well, what sister? There's a lot of sisters. Well, I could call and say, hey, man, it'd be 1,000 men. Hey, man, men. And I have to call them personal name and ID for them to answer.
Amen.
The Lord has, God has personal names all the way through the scripture that reveals his character, his nature, and his working, especially in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, the New Covenant, there's one name that covers them all. I said there's one name.
One name.
Amen.
When the New Covenant comes in, we're given one name. Hallelujah. And we love that name, right?
Amen.
Amen.
I said there's one person that
means
the whole principle of the Old Testament name, Elohim, Yah, El Shaddai, Elyon, all this capitalized in the Old Testament describing his works and his name and his character. We get to the New Testament. There is a person called the Son of God comes in the flesh, and he goes, and he said his name shall be Emmanuel. Talk about his word, Matthew chapter 1. And when he comes, he's going to be called Emmanuel. And he said, God with us, the God of eternity in flesh. Now, and then in our English language, he is called Jesus because we speak English.
Yeah.
And so that's
Amen.
How we
Amen.
In the English world call him Jesus. But in many other languages, he's called by other names according to that language. The language he was born in Hebrew, was Yah, Yeshua. So I'm going to take this in a probably a pattern about the Creator, that the Lord God has a particular pattern, what I call in the scriptures an unchangeable pattern, which and his unchangeable nature and character never changes.
Yeah.
And he also
Amen.
Has a pattern that's all the way through the scriptures from beginning to end. This is his pattern. Unchangeable. I call it an unchangeable principle.
Amen.
The unchangeable principle of this one true and living God. Now, you know, the first thing in Genesis about the creation, the word is made, let us make man in our own image and likeness. That always been sort of a little controversial with people. Let us.
Uh-huh.
One God said, made a statement, let us. So somebody was in the discussion in heaven, let us make heaven, let's make man in our, it doesn't use the term, I think, my image, but our image and likeness.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, we don't get the full revelation of this one God until the New Testament, mostly as the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This when this revelation comes primarily about the three major working of this one God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, three. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yet one God. I'm setting this up for the unchangeable pattern, so you'll know his unchangeable pattern, which he works and what he is. Father,
Amen.
He first manifests three, but yet
yeah.
one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us make man. Now look around you on the earth. There's sun, moon, and stars.
Mm-hmm.
Earth, water, and fire. So Paul talks about the third heaven. He was caught up to paradise to the third heaven, where the throne of God, the third heaven. So that, then there has to be a first and a second heaven. But the place where his throne in glory is, Paul said, I was caught up unto paradise, no not, but into the third heaven. As we go to 1 John in chapter 5, verse 7, it says there is three witnesses in heaven. Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Three witnesses. Why is this important? We're going to find out why this three. Why it's always basically the Lord God does nothing until he confirms it, establishes it, authenticates it, except confirms it in mouth of two in the mouth of two or three. That's a principle, a legal law and principle in everything, affirming, confirming, and bearing witness and establishing something by the mouth of two or three witnesses. God
Amen.
Does this in all his working. Now, in the earth, three witnesses, the spirit, the water, and the blood. And you'll notice, at the baptism where John and Jesus comes to the Jordan River to be baptized of John, there are three witnesses. Three witnesses.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The first one, that the Son of God. Then the voice comes from heaven. The Father says, this is my beloved Son.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other witness, John says, the person that I see that comes down, Spirit of God, in the form of a dove, sit upon him, that's the one. So we get these three witnesses now, and actually all in one, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, at Jordan's River where Jesus is baptized.
Right.
That, understand this, the next part. The human being, the human person, you and I, are made in three separate, distinct parts, but one person. I said we consist as a human being of three distinct parts, but we are one person. So when I look at you, I see your body. I don't see the other two parts. They're invisible to the natural eye. The second part of you is called the soul, and some call it the mind. But it's basically the soul makes up the intellect. The mind, the mental part of the emotion, the decision part of you. That's called the soul, make up the soul. The third part of you is what? Your spirit. But the first part of man is spirit. And I should have put it first because man is first a spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, it said man is spirit. He is spirit, just like God is spirit. Let him come forth from the Father. Father is spirit. You understand that? I'm not just a spirit.
Amen. And
so, we are spirit because, listen, if he brought all humans into this world and through the birth, there had to be spirit first. They proceed from the Father, proceed from God. So they had to be spirits. But they took on them a soul and a body. Three.
Amen.
Man is made of three principal parts, spirit, soul, and body. Now read the Bible in the Old Testament. It's mostly divided into creation, the law, and the prophet. Now, and some call it the psalmist 2:4. But Noah built a boat for the deliverance of that old world, and he built this ship or this boat, and it had three stories high.
Mm-hmm.
And the length of that boat was about a little bit more than a football field. The length of it was a little bit more than 100 yards, 110 and 20 yards. Now, the Lord speaks to man patiently, primarily, by his voice, his spirit, his prophet, or by angels. Fourth part. Basically. Now, and God is unchanging. He's living eternal God. He's unchangeable in his pattern.
Amen.
So you can follow him and know the difference.
Yeah.
The Lord God always established all that he does in the mouth of two or three or more witnesses. This is unchangeable in all through the scripture. He always affirms something. He always confirms it. He authenticated it for it to be established as a truth. Now, unchangeable.
Unchangeable.
We have in the world today a book of the law and the prophet of God speaking, revealing himself, and this book has been canonized into a small part called the Bible. It has been canonized and by the fathers, and when they got through putting it together in our Western Germany, we call it a collection of books called, we call it the Bible. One book.
Mm-hmm.
Now my question is, God never leaves himself without another witness.
Amen.
Oh, now, this is the truth that most believers don't know. They think, oh, the Bible is the only book. Well, I understand that. But God is leaving his pattern because he always confirms and affirms with another witness. So where's the other book? Where's the other written testimony? Oh, well, you know. Well, it's only one God. Yeah, but he always manifests himself in three ways. Go through the scripture. He always establishes that thing by what? Matthew 8 and 1, Brother Nate, in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Is that right? I could be wrong.
Amen.
No, that's
amen.
So if you get one record, one book, he got to have another book to establish and bear witness. Or another record. That's his way. That's his nature. That's his principle. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make anything what men say or what tradition
Amen.
Say. I'm just telling you that this is the established way that you find in order. He's working in strip. Three, got to be another written record. There got to be a second and a third record that bear witness of the Bible. Well, we don't
Amen.
Need no more, brother. We got enough, 56. I know that's your thought. Well, brother, I think that's enough. We got the Bible. That's your thought. I'm
mm-hmm.
not going to get into that. Well, we don't need no more. That's your thought. That's what you say, but you didn't do the creation. You're not God. So
Amen.
You're the creator. You're the Amen. Created being, so you can't tell him how to work. So we don't need no more. Because he done already
Amen.
Set his pattern. He done set the way, and he's not changing
mm-hmm.
for you.
Already.
Where are the two written? Where are the third witness? I want to say this, and then
mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know why the Lord God visit Africa? Why you got to bring that up, bro? I'm establishing something. I'm establishing a pattern. Unchangeable pattern of the living God in all that he does from the creation to this day. Do you know why the Lord God visited Egypt, which is Africa? They don't like to call it Africa. Do you know they don't like to call it Egypt? They don't refer to that as Africa. You know, okay. Well, that's Egypt coming out of it. Well, that's Africa, you know. In the Bible days, they didn't call that continent Africa. They called it the land of hell. The name Africa came later on. A Roman general whose name, that continent was called Africa later, because Africa is not in the Bible because it wasn't called Africa in that day. Egypt,
mm-hmm.
Jesus, I'm going to tell you five times. Why did God go down to Egypt five times? Abraham went, Isaac, and Joseph was sent, then Moses was sent, Jesus went down there.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't know why. You think that God did anything by luck or by chance? Everything he did has a purpose and a reason behind it. Why did
yeah.
Abraham have to go down to get released? Why did Isaac have to go down to get released? And why did he send Joseph down to Africa to deliver the Israelites when they were in need? Why didn't he not send it to another place? But he sent Joseph to go to Africa and to be raised up and sit on the throne. He
mm-hmm.
sent Moses to be born among the Egyptians. He was raised among the Egyptians. He got all his education. He had his languages. He had his degrees and his knowledge raised up in Egypt. Until he was awakened. He was awakened who he was and why he was there. But then, here's the caper. When Jesus was a little child, and Herod, the King Herod, heard about Jesus, and he wanted to assassinate and kill him because he heard that a king of the Jews was born, and Herod put out a hit on Jesus. And here, the angel said, go to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I know y'all not going to get the point yet.
Mm-hmm.
This is not about mm-hmm. color. This is about God's purpose. I'm not talking about color.
Amen.
Jesus, as a baby, the angel said, take him to Egypt and
mm-hmm.
stay there until I tell you to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not going to go into that. I just want you to use this pattern. Do you not know that the Bible talks about three waves of Pentecost? We're not going to go into the first move of the Holy Spirit, which happened on the day of Pentecost and the church was born in the book of Acts.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first wave. But you know,
yeah.
I know there was to be two more moves, and the second one has already happened. But the third wave has not come to fruition yet. We had people being sprinkled with the Holy Ghost all over the world. They're receiving sprinkles. But what's the third wave of the Holy Ghost has not even happened yet. Oh, well, thank God. It's coming in the future, not long. Okay. Do you not know that the law of Moses was broken and had to be restored. Do you not know that the gospel also was going to be broken and had to be restored,
yes,
just like the law was restored by Moses?
Yes.
Well, I just thought I'm just trying to get this pattern established here for the second time.
Okay.
Yeah.
The gospel was polluted and had to be restored the second time because God, the pattern doesn't change.
Amen.
Do you not know that Elisha asked God, Yahweh, and said, I want a double portion of Elijah's spirit. A double portion, and he got it, and he did double miracles.
Mm.
Do you not know that in the latter days, Christ's church established anew, had to be established a second time in 1929? But you do not know that the third, something's going to happen for the third time. I know God don't change. Mm-hmm. There's a third coming of renewal of this work.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah.
A third renewal
Amen.
Coming. Do you not know that God uses two scribes, angels visited two men in this generation, Otto Fettins and W.A. Drage, but
mm-hmm.
because the third scribe has not yet come.
Okay.
I'll say it again, just in case somebody's deaf.
Mm-hmm.
God has not chosen to reveal a third scribe in this day yet. He's on the horizon. The third man that God will choose to receive the Elijah is yet in the making.
Yeah.
All right. Now, unchangeable.
Unchangeable.
Huh?
You know, the Bible says that basically two or three sins that are unforgivable. The first sin, which is unforgivable, is called unbelief, rejection of Jesus. You reject Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you can't get forgiveness. It's done. You die and you
uh-huh.
reject Jesus, hey, that's unforgivable. The second one is called the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You know that there's three places the dead go when they leave the earth. Or there could be three places. One is called outer darkness.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, when people leave, they go to paradise in the midst of the third place, which is called the New Jerusalem. The paradise and the New Jerusalem are not exactly the same, but they're in the same area. Paradise sits right in the middle of the New Jerusalem, the eternal city. Wow. Now, I'm going to show you, as I stop, that the three greatest supernatural miracles of healing started with Moses. I said the three greatest
mm-hmm.
supernatural and the greatest miracle started with the prophet Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Wow. Do you know that Moses, the prophet, great miracle, when he brought them out of Egypt, Psalms 105, 107, there was not one sick, mong, feeble person among them. As they went, they said there was not a feeble one among them. How did God give them supernatural help? Millions of people as they come forth out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was not a poor person because they took all the soap, most of the gold and the silver from the Egyptians.
Mm-hmm.
That was back pay. So they've been working 450 years. That's a lot of back pay they had to get paid, right?
Amen.
Wait a minute now. They were getting no, they worked for that. Just like the black slaves worked in America for 350 years. Well, yeah, they got some back pay coming.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on.
Amen.
I don't care if you don't like it. I tell it anyway. Now look, Moses did the first mass deliverance that was known.
Mm-hmm.
The mass healing and deliverance. The first one he known is when he healed his sister of leprosy.
Yeah.
And he spoke the word and said, Lord, let her be healed. And leprosy left her. The second greatest, the third one was when Israel rebelled and the serpents bit them and they were dying. When the poison serpents came out and bit them, it was thousands of them were dying. And all they had to do, Moses said, just lift up. And he lifted the brazen serpent, which represents the cross, the brazen serpent, and they lifted the represents the cross. And all they had to do was look and they lived. And they were magically healed and delivered.
Yeah.
And they were restored to life. This is why Jesus loves to heal and restore. That all of his work is about healing, recovering, and restoring people. This is his desire of the gospel. Now, I'm not going to finish a couple more things. Has anyone got a comment or enlightenment more? All right, no silent like a lamb. This is the sharing. It is the sharing together. Anybody want to share anything on that? This is Handmaid's Night.
Amen.
Nobody? Anybody going to help me out?
Oh, I thank God for the word that's going forth, and I can only agree with it because it's in the word of God. And he is right now, I thank God because he is really unveiling. He's revealing things, and he's unveiling and revealing his word to humans and open up their understanding and the awesome prophecies of Revelation, because a lot of it ain't coming out of Revelation, because the greatest prophecies are in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Revelations, and that the Lord has been blessing and open up the understanding of you men to bring it forth so we can understand the word of God and press forward into this midnight cry, the last warning, and this angel's message that people just don't know what a great blessing when they do not receive it or hear it. They do not know what great, great blessing that they are letting pass over them, letting pass over them. And when I was thinking about that, I thought about, you know, in the old days, just by, you know, the shadow, and how people was healed just from the shadow of God, you know, just passing by. And we got to really, really, you know, this word really, it established you on a solid ground and with more faith. And I thank God for it. I thank God for the word because this word is coming forth as the prophecy, and also it's the order of the time of the sequence. And the brother keeps talking about three. It's the order of the sequence of how it has been laid out from the foundation of the world, and I thank God for it.
Amen.
Do you not understand that it says in Malachi and Zechariah and Isaiah that one in the last days come in the spirit and power of Elijah? Now, why it didn't take none of the other prophets? Okay, now, you notice it because it said, one coming like Isaiah, and coming in the spirit of Isaiah. It could have come in the spirit of Daniel. Why did it say there's one coming in the spirit and power of Elijah? Now, if you want to know about Elijah, ministry and Elisha, when they were twins, double, go back and see what they did. They walked in the supernatural. There's only three men in the Old Testament basically walk in the glory, and the supernatural. Three. Perhaps you can call the fourth one, but there's three that revealed in the whole New Testament that knew the living God in a such supernatural, glorious way. That's why the Lord says the last one is going to be walking at tranquility. The first one he likened this last messenger to, he said, one like Moses.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. One like Moses, that prophet. And then he says, okay, let's put them together. It's going to be even like Moses and Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
So why did Elijah stand out among all the prophets and Elijah? How did they stand out among all the prophets and about Moses and Elijah? The two prophets that stand out in the supernatural and might of the Lord was two men, in particular three, Moses, Elijah, and Elisha.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord said, they're going to have the spirit and the power of Elijah. Now, this is what the Church of Christ has not yet understood.
Yeah, yeah.
We have not come to understand about this. Well, oh, Brother Nate, you said you want to say something?
No, I mean, go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Did you know that only in the Old Testament there are two men who raised people from the dead? Moses actually brought them back to life in the mass deliverance, but that's what he did. He restored them and delivered them in the mass deliverance. But Elijah did something in the Old Testament. They raised some people from the dead. Now, the New Testament hadn't come in yet, but they were doing things that were similar. Do you know why Elijah and Elisha was the places the only one could raise people from the dead and did? Well, think about that now. Where is one going to come like Elijah in these last days?
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to restore?
Mm-hmm.
We got the first two parts, but we haven't got the other two parts. Now, you notice you can have the two parts of the house, but there's two parts to the house that you got to get that's left out. So how is the house going to be built? Or how is the house going to be established? Well, it may start on it, but the house ain't complete because you're leaving out the other two parts. Do anybody understand?
Amen.
No, I guess not.
Amen.
We just want to champion on these two parts. We got the authority.
Mm-hmm.
What that means when you say you got the authority of the Son of God?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that means? When you make that statement, we're the only one, and I'm not trying to mock or make fun of nobody. I'm just saying how this sounds to the world. Because when the world looking on the people, they say, we're the only one. Brother Nate, you're the only one. Listen.
Yeah.
Now, you're talking to the world, and you're talking to the devils around the world, and the devil says, you're what?
Mm-hmm.
You're the only one that we should be scared of. Well, then they had to back them in the corner and say, well, I don't know. Well, this is serious business. When you say Elijah coming and the spirit of Elijah restored the priest or the Son of God and we got the book, is that enough to convince the world?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody talk back to me, rebuke me, or say to me, correct me, or kick me, whatever. We're just talking, having a conversation.
Amen.
Oh, we're just sharing. We're not listening about it. We're just sharing.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
From 1929 to this day.
Yes.
Wow. Do you know how many years has passed? 90, or more than 90 years.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God he's a good God.
Amen.
Thank God he's a patient God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Thank God
he's
a long-suffering God.
Amen.
Thank God he's a loving God.
Yes, Lord.
Thank God he's a waiting God. Let me wait and see.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Then he's going to draw the line and say, okay, I got to get it done. I have to get it done.
Yes.
Why? Because he says there are 10,000 and how many
women at the gate? 10,000
times 10,000. Somebody talk back to me. He says there's thousands and 10,000
waiting
at the gate.
Amen. Lord. My Lord, thank you, Jesus.
Come in. Is that right? Come in.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah. So that means it's more than me say, well, I got the personal authority and stuff there, and I got the book and I got the house and that's supposed to get it. Is that supposed to get it done? I'm trying to figure this out now, because I'm a part of this. I'm responsible for this, and I'm guilty of this. So that means everybody in the house got to repent.
Amen.
So it ain't leaving out nobody. This day, Brother Nate. Everybody got to come.
Amen.
Everybody from the apostle to the one who thinks they whatever, they all got to humble before the God. Because they have failed to understand.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
They fail to comprehend the sacredness and the importance from this day, from the 18th to the 19th, yet we do not understand. We do not comprehend.
Amen.
Because we must be awakened. We must be awakened in this season. And I intend to wake up myself and ask God to wake me up and stir me up and clean me up and wash me up and purify me up and do all the up. What about you?
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
What about us? What about you?
Amen.
Everyone.
Everyone.
Restoration and in the life of everyone.
Yes, yes.
Drop your pride at the door. Drop your self-righteousness at the door.
Amen.
But we're the only one at the door. And prove that God is real to the nation.
Yes, he is.
Beautiful shot.
Thank you, Lord.
Shut
him
out.
Amen.
He's not going to prove it. Shut
your
mouth. He's not ready to prove it. Shut your mouth if we're not going to prove it.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Elijah, the prophet of old, had to make all those people shut up.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right,
that's right.
Am I right about it?
Amen.
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 Well, this is not all lemonade. It's some casserole in it.
Amen.
Sandala Rupisha.
Thank the Lord.
Glory.
Jesus.
Glory. Help.
Yes,
help
Lord.
Us to understand.
Help us, Jesus.
To make the commitment and the consecration.
Oh, yes.
Help us to awaken. Help us to be enlightened, shook and loose.
Jesus.
Help
Lord
us
Jesus.
Come all the way. Closer.
Yes, Lord. Help us
all the way.
Come all the way.
Closer.
Help us to come all the way.
Under the shop. Help us to see our need to
repent
and say,
Lord,
we've fallen short in this and fallen short in this. Bring us all the way.
Yes,
bring us to bleeding side, merciful
Jesus.
Bring us completely under your wings.
Bring us, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Completely.
Help me, Jesus. Help my brothers and sisters, those that are weak and fallen, those that are far off, those that once were, let them rise again. Help the Lord, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Help me, Jesus.
Bring us through the spirit revival again.
Yes,
because it's part of our understanding why in 1906 the Azusa Strait, the Azusa Strait Revival kept turning this nation around. Because we don't know. And the little shot. Now,
Jesus.
Who has the last second question? Took up more than I shook up. We're going to be sharing. And I exalted. Okay, since y'all have to close, so you got a few minutes. I've only got 8 minutes of what?
You got longer than that. You got a hour and a half broadcast tonight, so you got 44 minutes.
Oh, an hour and a half.
Amen.
My goodness, bud. I can go down and Egypt and come back and pick up the bread. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Eat some angels. Because we probably been eating angels fruit.
Amen. Yeah.
We got angels food fed to us in these last days. That the children of Israel, they had angels food.
Amen.
Why do people think that it's so strange that God will send an angel as well as the Holy Spirit to have us eating hidden manna, just like the children of Israel eating angels food in that day? Well, I don't know. Why do people get so tradition bad? But, okay, now it's the sister's time now. Because I'm gonna get blessed and greedy, and welcome you. I haven't heard you guys' voices. I'm glad to come on Saturday and Sundays. I don't want to call it Saturday. I want to call it the seventh day and the first day.
Amen.
Because you know all of our months and our Gregorian calendar is Roman paganism names.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Did you get that?
Amen.
Do you not know when they said Saturday, who they was named after? The God called what?
Mm-hmm.
Our calendars and our months were named after who, Brother Nate?
Saturn, the planets.
And all our weeks, now the month of Abib in the Hebrew term, or Nisan in the Hebrew term, but when we come over here in the Western world, we all our calendar names and months basically are named after who? After Roman God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Am I halfway right, brother?
Amen. Right.
So I just sometimes like to do that. I want to call it the seventh day, the sixth day,
mm-hmm.
or the first day or the third day. You know, when the messengers come, he didn't say for us to worship on Sunday, recognize this on Sunday on this weather. He didn't use the word Sunday, did he?
No.
That's right. Amen.
What did he say?
First day of the week.
So he must have got more understanding than we got. He didn't call it after the Roman God. I want y'all to worship on Sunday, after the sun god.
Sun God.
I'd like to serve the part. Okay, brothers and sisters, now. Do anybody got a particular thing that they I know sometimes she spoke, so it is your time to share with the world and share with the nations and share with other people something or whatever that God has given you. I know. No?
Well, I thank the Lord for the word, for the conversation, for sharing tonight, and you know, and I really learned a lot, about the miracles that have taken place in the Old Testament, you know, not realizing it, but I noticed it in the New Testament, and I just thank the Lord, you know, for the information, you know, that have gone forth. You know, tonight, and I thank the Lord Jesus, you know, for this work, for the Elijah message, and, you know, for this extra oil, you know, that the Lord, you know, say that we have and that we can be able to stand, you know, in these last days, and it's a warning to all people, you know, about the second coming of Christ and what he is doing, you know, in this day and time amongst his people, and how he is warning us that we will be prepared, you know, and put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to receive and have that extra oil and to stand on the word of God, you know, in this last day. And I truly thank the Lord Jesus for this midnight cry that is going forth.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, the three broken fragments and branches who refer to them as the Church of Christ, Elijah Messages, three groups who say they are the Church of Christ, Elijah Messages, three branches, broken, fragmented groups. There are many small groups of restoration around of the nation.
Yeah.
If you have been in contact with some of the other restoration groups, now the largest restoration group, well, I don't want to get into it, but the largest group who the Lord, and here's the thing where they get offended. When you don't want to say what the Lord say, and you're afraid that somebody's going to get offended, the Lord Jesus offended many people in his day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not know that he was the love of God in the flesh, but his words and his truth offended many people? Do you understand that? Why do you think they killed him?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Amen.
Why do you think they murdered and killed him?
Mm-hmm.
The creator of Israel, the love of God in flesh, the Redeemer. Why do you think they rejected and killed Jesus in his day?
Mm-hmm. Oh, the truth. Oh, the truth.
I mean, why do you think they put Jeremiah in a pit, in a mud hole? Why do you think they sawed Isaiah asunder? Why do you think most of the prophets did not die with their boots on? In the Bible.
Yeah.
You know John the Baptist had his head cut off?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
You understand that?
Amen.
He got his head cut off.
Yeah.
But what? Well, just wondering. Do you know why John, the apostles, put on the Isle of Patmos, on the wild beast, owls in the Patmos Sea over the Turkey, placed in the mines of that desert place when they tried to kill him and boil him, and he was supernaturally delivered, and they couldn't understand why he wouldn't boil and he won't fry? So, they took him out of there and put him on this island, on the wild beast. And John is on the Isle of Patmos. And they're over there near the Aegean Sea, over there near Asia Minor or Turkey. And he's on this barren isle, desert isle, and they couldn't kill him, so they put him over there, John. You know, brother, they couldn't kill him, they couldn't eat him, so they put him out there on this isle.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
If they could have killed him, they would have killed him.
Amen.
But people don't think, why didn't they kill him? Like they did the other apostles.
They couldn't. Mm-hmm.
They tried.
Amen.
They put him in a hot pot of boiling oil. Then they finally said, just put this fella out in the owl, way over there in the wild beast. Maybe they'll eat him up, whatever. Talk to them.
Yep.
And you know, something phenomenal happened that people in this Bible world don't know. John, the beloved apostle, is still alive. And I'm talking that old crazy stuff. John is still alive. That's one of the phenomenal. Then God got some more witness. I'm talking about this witness. God always do things in threes. He got three Nephites who did not die. See, God is a different pattern. Oh,
amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Did we tell you that we are sure, basically sure, that we met one of the Nephites? I ain't kind of brave or nothing like that. I don't talk about that very much. I don't say a lot about this because it gets into people getting rid of, you know. So, Brother Moore. Brother Jones and Sister Jeanette Simmons, we were in Chicago. They were in Chicago, and we were the beginning of starting up the local. Brother Moore, Brother Dennis Jones, and Sister Jeanette Simmons were downtown in Chicago in front of the Greyhound bus station, which was in the loop at that time. And we're on a holiday. we was passing out messages on that holiday. I don't remember exactly what that holiday was. We decided and we prayed, let's go downtown and pass out some Elijah Angel's message on the street in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So as we were standing and all four of us, we were on the street and we were passing out Angel's message. And some people doing like they do, you know, how they throw it down on the street and you got to go pick them up and all that good stuff. And Brother
Nate,
we got in there and we Brother Moore, you have to meet Brother Moore. Brother Moore, it was kind of I miss Brother Moore. He was an unusual fellow, so we need more Black Moores like him. But anyway, Brother Moore and Brother Joe, I was on this end and on the street in Greyhound Brothers. So here, I saw this man coming, and I saw him coming down the street before because I was on the far end. So I looked at him, and the guy looked so much like Brother Dre. I looked at him. He looked so much like Brother Dre, you know, likeness of Brother Dre, short, you know, southern. And he was at San Jose, and it was a summer day, and he had this unusual smile on his face. And as he walked by, I think Brother Moore gave him a message. He said, here, take this. And then he stopped him. And Brother Moore, you know, he'd get up in your face. And he wasn't one of those people that was scared. He'll get up in your face and tell you about this. And he asked the man, he said, do you know about the Elijah message? He said, yeah, I know about it. Then Brother Moore said, have you heard of the angel justice? He said, yes, I know about it. He said, do you know that Brother Dre is it? He says, yes, I know about Brother Dre. Do you know about
Wow.
He said, yes, I know about it. And so
wow.
I'm going to listen to this thing. And Brother Moore is questioning him. So I'm standing there watching. So Armstrong is on the other end. Brother Dennis told him, so we're watching the conversation. And then we asked him at that time, the civil rights movement was going real strong. And he made a couple statements. But he had two things I kept watching him. Now, you know what got me? His appearance on him was like he, see, Brother Dre's, I don't know where you watch Brother Dre, but Dre's had that kind of sun glory upon him. You watch him, the light from him, most people may not see it. But he had that countenance. And so he was like Brother Dre. He was, and two things I noticed about him. The first thing I know, he never blinked. You understand that?
Amen.
His eyes never blink. Human beings have to blink.
Mm-hmm.
I know you don't understand that, but as a human being, you cannot hold your gaze unless you're blind. You have to blink.
Yes.
And your countenance has to change.
Mm-hmm.
The two things I noticed about his countenance never change. And his eyes never blink. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that, and then I looked at his countenance, but anyway, I just thought, and then all of a sudden, Brother Moore tried to say, where do you live? He said, I just came from France. He said, and Brother Moore tried to pin him down and ask him certain questions, he wouldn't answer. He evaded it and went to something else. And Brother Moore always asked these questions. He said, where do you live? He said, well, I come from France. I think he said it just came from France. And he asked him, what is his name? He said, my name is E. Lamore. E. Lamore.
Mm.
And Brother Dre, wanted to get his address, and he wouldn't give the address where he was. He started walking away with that same countenance and that same smile. Never changed. Sister Armstrong, she's on the other end, and she knows she wanted them trusting God in Christ people come out, you know. And she, all of a sudden, she just jerking, and the Holy Ghost said, the Nephite, the Nephite, the Nephite, the Nephite. He's one of the Nephites. and he walked away with that same countenance down the street. But I'll just tell you part of it, an experience that we had. Out of the three witnesses that he left among the Nephites, three in the earth. So I hope that as we share these things, there's a couple more things that I didn't finish on about the pattern, the unchangeable pattern of the living God. Now, how many minutes do we have? 2 minutes or 1 minute? Okay. Brother. 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 Now, I want to share these three and why it's important to two or three. You know, a lot of people have been in this work, right? Even in your time.
Amen. Amen.
They struck away, huh?
That's right.
And they come and they go, and they come and they go. And it seems like they can't stand or withstand difficulties, problems, or something occurs that they can't overcome, or some person weakness, someone hurts them, or somebody disappointed them, so they can't stand. Because they're looking at that person that disappointed them, so they think Jesus has disappointed them. So they look at the person, and so they, because this is the difference. When you look at the person that failed, then you got to look at Jesus, did he fail you? Anybody talk to me?
Amen.
We hear you, brother. Amen. Jesus never failed. Jesus never failed. Amen.
Well, here's the difference.
Here's the difference. When people look at other people and they get disappointed because they're looking on that person as if Jesus failed them. Jesus gave you the testimony and the word, and he never failed you, but you're looking at that person because that individual whom you love, he or she failed. So therefore, you are broken because you're looking at that person who was weak, or that person fall, the one that you trusted, and Jesus already told you, trust not in the arm of flesh, but trust in the living God. Now, and this is how people come in this work. They see a lot of flaws and failures, and so they say, well, you know, so, and that's human. That's very human. But listen to this. When Judas betrayed the Lord, and Peter denied him three times, and doubted him, and all the apostles but one left him. How did Jesus deal with that? These men, his main leader, Peter, actually denied him three times. How did he deal with the one that he had ate and slept with betrayed him? How did he deal with, in his darkest hour on the earth, they all ran and hid and left him alone. Yeah. How was he able to stand and withstand?
Had his faith and belief in the Father. Would do nothing.
How did Job endure when all of his friends, so-called, and burdened? And how did he endure the loss of his children, his business, and his wealth? And then finally, his wife, his own beloved queen. How did Job stand when all of that turned against him? Did you get that? And then the messenger, the angel, comes to the Church of Christ and said five times that we were going to be tried like Job. Apparently, we did not believe it. Apparently, we didn't believe it. I said, apparently, the church was not prepared, because he said it almost five times and told us that the test was going to be like Job. Wow. So many people have come and gone in this work and passed away for different reasons. Some of them not totally their fault. We're not going to put all the blame on them, but they have passed away and passed through. For some reason, they were not able to stand or withstand or endure. Now, here's the thing. when you look at Jesus and his life, and when he comes to the end, almost his most important event about dying and going to that hill, he wanted his disciples to stand with him and his friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
But his friends all left him but one.
Mm-hmm.
And his mother and the women. The women basically was the only one at the cross, and John. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Amen.
So I give high grades. Yeah. I always give high grades to the women of God. I don't care what nobody says. I don't care whether they like it or not. I don't make me no difference. I don't care. It was the women, basically. Now, I'm not putting out the men. But at the cross, Mary and the other women. Did you get that?
Amen.
Amen.
And this one apostle, he's called John, the beloved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, Jesus trusted John and gave the care of his mother and
right.
said,
Amen.
I'm giving you my mother. That's your mother
mm-hmm.
from now on. You take care of her. So he must have really had a lot of trust in John. Because John was there.
Yeah.
Wow. And the Lord would always have a witness, no matter what. Whatever storm you're going through, he's
yeah.
always
yeah.
he going to live. I don't care what dark place you're going through. It's somebody that he's going to give that you can lean on.
Yeah.
That
Amen.
Will stand with you. In the sweeping
mm-hmm.
of people that's not able to stand, you're
yeah.
going to have to stand in this word. He says, the messenger said about this word, the angel, he says, he tell you that how you're going to stand. Now, if you don't get concrete witnesses,
yes.
I mean concrete witnesses, I didn't say
uh-huh.
one now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
witness
not going to put down. Did you get me?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
If you don't get concrete witnesses
mm-hmm.
and affirmation
yeah.
and revelation
mm-hmm.
and abivitations
yeah.
from all three sources,
yes,
yeah,
Lord.
Most of the time, and when the wind blow and the storms come, you're going to look around you and a lot of people will be blown away.
Amen.
I'm just telling you like it is.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When I got the first witness from God, the first witness from the Lord about Elijah in this message, in this word, the first witness, I said to myself, I got to get more than this witness, and I'm
Amen.
Glad that I did. I said, I'm
yeah.
glad that it did, because I would not have made
Amen.
It. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Their glory. If I hadn't got concrete witnesses reaffirming in the mouth of two, I may not have made it. This one.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody
Amen.
Say
glory.
So true. So true.
So glory.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Sometimes. Because when you go through what Job went through, he said the test is going to test everybody in Elijah's message. And it not only goes through Elijah's message, it tested a lot of Christians too, other Christians. When that test hits you, brother, the test of Job in all three or four places, brother, you got to be, sister, you got to be,
yeah,
I'm telling
yeah,
you, because
yeah.
when I ask God for another witness,
yeah,
then I ask God for a third witness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you about me.
Yeah,
I'm talking
yeah.
about nobody else. I'm
That's
talking
right.
about what it's going to take. What it's going to take to stand and withstand. When I got the third, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
When I got the third revelation, yeah. It don't hurt
yeah.
to get four witnesses. It don't help to get five. It ain't going to hurt to get all that you need.
Amen.
Because earth's going to be shaking, and people are shaking off their foundation they're not established. So I'm just telling you why I studied the work and why Sister Anderson, from the beginning, surprised me, was shocked me that Sister Anderson I have to be honest, I kind of looked, I said, how did Sister Anderson stand through all of this?
Mm-hmm.
I asked myself many times and said, Sister Anderson still standing. I said, she was there in the beginning. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And I'd be trying to figure out how she is.
Amen.
So like I can say, I
Amen.
Almost barely.
Because,
you know, and I had the testimony that I would go to different churches during my venue, different churches, and they all mostly want to prophesy to me where I ought to be or with them or with them, come with me. And I said, wow, that's a really nice invitation there, Brother Nate. I got to put up with a whole of this Joe stuff.
Yeah.
I said, that's a good invitation. Oh, you come over here, Brother Lee. Oh, you come with us. You'll be on the radio. You this and that and this. Come on, John. I said, uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes.
Sounds real good.
Your witnesses.
But something held me in place. With all the things I saw and all of my own personal failures, my own poor and other people, something held me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
something of the Lord held me together.
Yes,
and people
yes,
still
Lord.
Saying, are you still in the Church of Christ alive and Master? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. With all the storms and the weatherings, I'm still by the grace. And
yes,
the testimony of heaven. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Well, glory.
Amen.
Okay. Anybody have anything they want to say? I don't want to block nobody.
You know, I wanted to say, and I was having looking at, I'm grateful for the Lord for the extra oil. And
yes,
I am humbled to be able to proclaim it, to teach it, and the Word of God tells us to contend for the faith that once been delivered to the saints. But and what I've seen, and I was looking at this young lady on YouTube yesterday, and I was just thinking about this, that, and I'm talking about people who are members in the Church of Christ Eliza Message or had been members, you know, it goes for the both. That there are those who think we don't need to learn nothing about this work. And there are those who feel like, and what they fail to understand is that, you know, the Bible said contend for the faith that once was delivered to the saints. And we got to be able to proclaim this word. Now, what I'm saying is, for example, this young lady on YouTube, I think she's 36, now, the title of her message was, She Once Was a Jehovah Witness. Now, the thing was, this is what her first statement she said, and this is what I'm deriving this from. She said, I once was a Jehovah Witness. You know, Jehovah Witness is a branch of Christianity. Now, if I had to say anything else more than that, that should be something right there. Now, true believers don't understand that we have to stand and be able to rightly divide the word and expose the things of the enemy and these thinkings of the world and these tie-ins. Because it's just like when you go on there and they say, they talk about the Church of the Latter-day Saints, what do they say about the Church of Christ the Lies Message? It's a branch of the Latter-day Saints. And, you know, some Christians think that's nothing. They think there's nothing. They think that when some say Jehovah Witness is a branch of Christianity, they say, oh, that's just what they believe. They think it's nothing. But what they fail to understand, how many souls have been led astray even by such statements as that. Okay?
Yeah.
And there are some of us as Christians who have been in the quiet corner. We would not open our mouth when such a thing is declared. Now, I'm not trying to make anybody a renegade Christian. What I'm saying is this. We got to understand it's more than a few hallelujahs and some clapping of hands and speaking in tongues a little bit and rolling on the floor. It's more than that. You're going to have to contend for the faith. I think that didn't really hit us yet. Now, the early church knew. They knew. They understood. I'm talking about the ones that stood and was beheaded, burnt at the stake, their arms pulled from their bodies. I'm talking about them. They understood what it means to contend for the faith, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think with us, it has not really dawned on us yet. And we think that some of whoever we're going to go to and tell this message that they're going to pat us on the back or rub us or tell us that, yes, we invite you to come back next Sunday. That's not going to happen for the most part. You're going to get a few that's going to hear. But don't be surprised you get a lot of slam doors in your face. They sicking the dog on you when you're coming in the yard. All of that.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. But we got to know, this is why the word of the Lord said, be rooted in this work. And we missed it. Why we need to be rooted? Because there are some who are connected or in the Church of Christ, the Lies of Message. They have become shaken by things that they have been seeing. And now it has caused them to doubt that this work is true. It has caused them to even talk back on something that they once proclaimed they believe in. And so now they're saying things like, is an angel really, has God really been sending an angel? Now you be looking at this person, you say, hey, you've been in the church how many years? And now you want to ask this question. They're now starting to double back on something they once proclaimed. And what has happened is many of us have not become rooted. Okay. We came in by association and we thought association would keep us. We didn't get rooted. And so, therefore, when we read the message, we say, that's a beautiful message. Oh, that's a colorful message. The Lord is sending an angel. But when the test came, when we start seeing Grandmama leave, when we start seeing Mom and Daddy getting angry and say, I don't want to be a part of the church no more. Now we become shaken, and we start saying, really? Is this work true? Is this really the extra or what makes us different than other Christians? You got all these questions coming up now. And what it is, it's not so much as questions that you're interested, but it's questions of doubt. That's what it is. It's questions of doubt. I'm now beginning to, I don't understand this. I don't quite understand this. I'm beginning to wonder now because of the things we're seeing. So now we started to come into understanding why he said be rooted in this work. Okay. It's not the on the surface thing. And when it's messed the Church of Christ, what's the message up is that we are doing more on the search thing on the surface than really getting rooted. Yeah. So we're not spending enough time in the Word to really get rooted. We're just scaving the top. That's what we're doing. Yeah. We're scaving the top.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. People got excited when they hear the messenger came. They got all excited and bubbly, which I can understand that, but didn't get rooted. Yeah. Didn't get rooted. We read the message one time, put it to the side, and we were so happy that the angel came, but we did not get rooted. And so now the testing has come.
Yeah.
The testing has come. Where the people on there in the other churches are looking at you and saying, hey, how come it's just three of y'all meeting? How come it ain't 30? How come it's not 300? It must be something wrong with y'all church that only three of y'all are showing up. What's wrong with y'all? And now we have become shaken because those in other churches are looking at us and saying this particular thing at us, and we have become shook up and said, Lord, have you really been sending an angel? I just kind of wonder about this now.
That's true.
I don't know.
That's true.
I don't know. What is it? Is something wrong?
What are we doing?
You're so right. When Jesus got to the end of his ministry upon the earth, of all the crowds that was following him, and all of the disciples and the apostles was behind him when he saw the one that was. But at the end of his ministry, Thomas said, well, Peter said, well, See, you got to be rooted and established, because Peter, even Thomas, they all went fishing the other way. What crept in? What crept in from the 3 years they have been sleeping together, missionary together, they're praying with this man for almost three and a half years. And you could just show, I know I can count on Peter. I know, Brother Nate, I can count on Brother Thomas. I know I can count on so-and-so, so-and-so. So when Thomas and all, they break rank, I don't know. Thomas left. Peter left. I don't know. Jesus Christ said, I don't know whether I should go to the cross or not. Maybe I could be mistaken. But you see, here's the difference.
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah. Here's the difference. When this cometh, he said, the messenger said, that many are going to doubt. Satan's going to whisper. Well, my mama, she was, and my brother, so-and-so, he was here. So-and-so was here, and we all started together. And now it looks like, are we not going to end together? Jesus said to come a day when there's a sword is going to divide between mother and father and sister and brother.
Yep.
So if you're not rooted in him and in the work of God, and you don't receive the concrete witness, like he said, to honestly contend for faith, when all the people and many people were pointing the finger.
Yes.
Amen.
Jesus,
where are your disciples at? Jesus, where are your apostles at?
Yeah, yeah. Help us,
well, Lord. Well, the hundreds that was following you, where they at? There he is.
Yeah.
And there you'll find yourself. And the enemy was pick and nitpick. And he'll point to you. And like your brother says, they'll see, well, this work here is not. Don't worry about it. Take your stand and withstand.
Yeah,
because
you have
to keep your stand. Hallelujah. Yeah. You have to keep your foundation that is sure. You got to make your foundation is sure. You got to make sure your election is sure in the Lord.
Yeah.
Irregardless of what Peter do or Thomas do.
Yeah.
You got to make.
Amen.
See, one thing about Brother Clark,
Amen.
He never wavered.
And I look at Brother Clark.
Brother Nate, I also look at Brother Clark. He never wavered from this word.
No.
Amen.
I was marveling at the stuff that he goes through. When he moved to Durant, Mississippi, to do a work there, and he was in that little trailer, I would write to him, and some days they didn't have enough food, enough heat or nothing, and Brother Clark said he had to go fish for his food, go down to the fish for food, and he didn't have the money to get certain things or heat or even food. And so I would send him a few dollars, you know, and he said, this place is cold in winter, the trailer and this and that. And I said, wow. I probably said, hey, heck with that. I'm out of here. I'm out of this stuff. And here, Brother Nate, when this person who's supposed to be in the work of the Lord came and called him that name, that you know, that famous name they call people. Stood all of that. Withstood all of that. Sister Christine. Hallelujah.
Yes, they did. Amen.
And they withstood. Unmovable.
Yeah. Amen.
Unmovable.
Amen.
And
unmovable.
When many people wavered, some of these were good people.
Yeah.
It was not necessarily evil people. It was not evil people. They were swept away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
He said, messenger said, let not the evil sweep none away. The storm sweep none away. But the sweeping came. I said the sweeping came.
Lord. Oh, yeah.
I said the sweeping came.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Thank you, Lord.
You have to constantly establish yourself before the Lord and keep your eyes upon the Lord.
Amen.
If you don't keep your eyes upon the Lord, the enemy will let something separate. Now, I would get all kind of witness when I go to churches. There were people who would reject the message, an angel message I would take to them. And I stayed friend with them. I didn't call an enemy to them. We stayed friendly. And they couldn't, they did try to persuade me different things. Brotherly, I had a lot of friends in the Church of God and Church of God in Christ and people. Brother, you still believe in that message? I said, yep.
Amen.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yep.
Yep.
Amen.
No if, no but, maybe.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You, Jesus.
Thank you,
thank
Jesus.
You, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
The woman on the Utah, I understand, and this is how they dissuade people. Y'all, Mormons. I said, when I be talking to different ministers, I took the message, oh, you with the Mormon. I said, nope. I said, I ain't. Our church is not established, no Mormon church. We're not a part of the Mormon. Well, you're a branch. No, we're not no branch.
I'm no branch.
Mm-mm. Amen.
We're not no branch. And see, a lot of people in the Church of Christ, they refuse to say this. This is their weakness. They will renounce the curse of Mormon. They will not renounce Mormonism. Brother, that's part of our weakness, not renouncing evil. We won't break the tie with a, what God called curse.
Mormon
is a cursed religion.
Amen. Amen.
Almost a minute and a half, brother.
Well, I'm going to tell you, with your hope winning, it's not Christian. See, I know people don't like what I say, but I can believe what I say on the scripture. I said, your hope winning is not Christian.
Not Christian.
Mormonism is not Christian. Now, I know you. That's hard to swallow. I said, Mormon, look at their foundation.
Amen. Amen.
I said, Jehovah's Witness is not Christian.
It's
and
right,
when I said, Roman Catholic is not Christian.
Amen.
Not Bible Christian. They may be Christian, in
Bible
heaven,
Christian.
But not Bible Jesus Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't say that with hate. I do that to open the eyes of the blind.
Yes, Lord.
Okay? And the Church of Christ said, take a stand and say, this is something God rejects and is cursed. We are not Mormons. That's why we are not Mormons. We're not a part of Mormonism. We reject everything associated with curse. We love you today.
As Mormons. Amen.
And we take our stand. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Well,
amen.
We love you. We love all people. We care about all souls. We love the Islam people, though they're in a false religion. We love them. We pray for them.
Yes,
stand up.
Lord Jesus.
Be courageous
amen.
And bold.
Yes,
stand up
Lord.
For your
amen.
Well, we love you now, saints, and everywhere. Jesus Christ is Lord and the only Savior. This is your day of decision. The Church of Christ with Elijah message. Independence
amen.
Of Great Lacey Road is our association. Love you now.
Amen.
God bless. Thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget, another broadcast tomorrow. Look for the advertisement then tomorrow. Therefore, as for Brother Lee, Brother Nate, Sister Anderson, Sister Higg, we love you all. God bless you. God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Amen.